Wilmer reporting from Fort Hunter Liggett.
Stephen Price.
Your captain?
I am a captain in the U.S. Army Reserves. Okay. That's right. We took that distinction.
Tell us about what's going on here today.
Right now, we're doing an exercise where we have an engineer battalion that's going to maneuver up, and they're going to breach a site, and they'll have some chemical guys attached to them, some military police, so that they can do a combined arms breach.
How many troops are here?
So the battalion, they have a couple hundred troops out there. They're not at full strength right now, but they have enough soldiers within the battalion to make the training meaningful. Yeah, a few hundred out here, and the chemical MP guys contribute another few hundred soldiers as well.
And again, primarily reserve guard?
Yes, sir. So this is all reserve soldiers, National Guard soldiers out here doing the combined arms breach.
And where are they based? Where they come from?
Our element came from Denver. There's a couple other reserve elements that came from Denver, Colorado, too. But a lot of the units, especially Engineer Battalion, are based out of California.
And what sort of equipment would be utilized today?
They'll be rolling in wheeled vehicles. They have tracked vehicles. So you'll
Striker?
See the Strikers will be the opposition force. The Op 4 is what we call them. And they'll have Strikers out here that represent the enemy. And so they'll be in these fighting positions where they're dug in and have that protection. And they'll, you know, simulate enemy threat there. And so the Strikers will be in that position. And then the engineer battalion will maneuver up in a wheeled vehicle, track vehicles, and get to the point of breach.
How are they identified? How is the enemy identified, for example, physically?
So they're going to use all U.S. Army equipment, so it's tough to get the vehicles themselves representative of an enemy vehicle, as you can hear the enemy in the background.
And speaking of that, live fire today?
You'll have the sound representative of a real training scenario. Yeah, it'll be all artillery simulated rounds, and we'll have blank rounds for the crew serve weapons. So that's the 50 cals, the 249 machine guns. So we'll try to simulate as close to possible a real scenario as we can get.
And any helos or any air support in this exercise?
Today, I don't think we'll have any aviation support, but we're going to try to get it laid on possibly tomorrow. There will be two iterations of the breach. We would probably have a casualty scenario where any type of breach like this, you could expect some casualties. And so we'd have a number of soldiers that would need to be medevaced out. And so we would call that in.
And that'd be helo.
Yes, sir. It could be helo, but you know, in a scenario like this, you'll have casualty collection points and you can extract the soldiers. Wheeled vehicles too, if you have the ambulatory system in place and you rehearse that and have those guys extract them that way, if that's the best way to get them, or you can call in the helicopters for a medevac support too.
In any scenario, you can script it, but there are all these variables.
There are, and you can't account for all those variables, but what we do in the Army is we rehearse, and so we rehearse a number of times. You can do that by briefing the operations order. And then you can take it a step further and do a sand table. So these guys, the engineer battalion that's doing the training scenario, they actually built a full-scale sand table where they actually walked each unit through. They even modeled the terrain in there so they can see where the big hills were, where the river was, where the main road was, and walk through the different phases. That way you can foresee any type of hiccups and mitigate for that.
Where we are out in the field right now, this is just one increment, one little part of ongoing exercises on this base right now.
Right, so you have the engineer battalion. This is going to be their training site, but there's also the MP brigade out here too that's doing their exercises and chemical companies and some different training branches out here.
And where do they all hail from? For example, like you said, you're Denver-based, but do you have people East Coast and Northwest that are all coming here?
Yes, sir. So they come from all over the states. As you know, the U.S. Army Reserves, they're not geographically constrained just to one state like the National Guard. And so they can come from across the country. For example, one of the engineer companies came from West Virginia, and that's where I originally hail from. So I had to go up and talk to all those soldiers and say hello. So they come from all over the country.
Right now, it's just past sunrise. Sun's coming up, and there's a Striker in front of us, and there's, a 50 caliber emplacement.
Mounted on top of it, yep.
What's happening?
So, yeah, we see the Striker right in front of us. It's a great Army morning. You know, we have the striker in front of us and soldiers out there getting ready for this training scenario. So that striker is going to pull up into that whole defileade position where he'll have some type of cover concealment and just have his...
And that's the rock berm there you're talking about?
No, there's actually a ditch dug rock berm. So there's a number of levels of protection
so
there.
So he'll be hunkered down then?
Okay. He will. Yes, sir. So he'll be able to have some cover there and be more effective with his crew serve.
But there are always surprises.
There's always surprises, and you can't account for everything, but the best we can do, rehearse and try to do as close to reality rehearsals as we can, full-scale sand table rehearsals like that.
Thanks again, Stephen.
You're welcome. Captain Stephen Price.
Thank you, Steve.
Yep, you're welcome. Appreciate it.
My name is Captain Tom Pernicki, and I am with the 211th Regional Support Group out of Corpus Christi, Texas.
So right now, are we towards the end of this training exercise?
We should be. At this point, it looks like they're still digging in practices to prevent the chance that there's landmines in the breach lane, so that any follow-on forces for vehicles or personnel reduce that risk of them being exposed to landmines. Once they've dug far enough, then they'll pull back, and that's when the assault force will then move through and assault the objective, destroying the enemy in place.
And again, these vehicles over there...
These are light armored troop carrier vehicles.
They're providing protection.
Yes, they provide overwatch and suppressive fire against the enemy. As we saw earlier back by the tree line, they kicked out a number of what we called of our dismounts, infantry, and they pushed them up the far side there, parallel to the tree line, to give them cover and concealment, provide suppressive fire against the enemy. The guys that are playing the enemy back over here in the strikers are actually active duty members from 3rd Brigade, 2nd Infantry Division.
So what's going on right now?
This is probably the suppress, the first test, or the... suppressing any enemy that's out in this area here, which allows freedom of maneuver for the force is going to secure the breach point, and then thus the guys are also going to reduce the obstacle.
And these exercises right now, they're multinational, so you have some troops from Canada?
There are some Canadian soldiers out here. There's some British. There was a platoon or a company of Saudi medics that came out last week. There was, I think, one lieutenant from, I'll say, Lithuania that was out here. Important that we train to work with our partner nation allies, because when it comes to a real war situation, we're not going to be fighting alone. We're going to have allies, and it's important that we understand how we operate and how they operate, and that we work together to achieve our joint mission.
And this exercise that's going on right now, this is the middle of the summer. It's going to be 100 plus in a little bit.
Yes, sir.
How long does this exercise schedule for?
We're going to be boots on ground here for my unit in particular for about 3 weeks solid. A lot of units only come out for about 2 weeks at a time. It just varies by the mission set and what the orders are for their plan for their training. But right now you can hear they're under heavy fire.
Right. So the gunfire to our left, that's the enemy?
That's the enemy.
You served in Afghanistan?
I was in Iraq and Afghanistan. Iraq.
The sounds that you hear right now, does it bring back memories?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You can see they got guys over here. Looks like they're digging or something, trying to get maybe under some wire or deal with part of the obstacle on the far side. So it looks like they may be trying to create two breach lanes.
Feel surrounded.
This is one of the dangers too, is that operations like this have to be planned very carefully, because as your friendly forces are approaching the front line of the enemy, you have to make sure that your supporting fire elements are shifting their fire so you don't have a friendly fire incident. It's very methodical and well planned. Okay, here they come.
What we're witnessing this morning, we've been out in the field since before the dark 30. And here it is, what, 8?
Just 10 minutes to 8.
This exercise we're watching right now is slow and methodical.
It has to be. And the reason being is that we want to go slow here so that the troops get comfortable with how they do things. They don't do it by the numbers the right way. This way, when they do it in reality, in a real combat situation, they can do it at a much faster pace because it becomes muscle memory and they automatically do it. My name is Captain Tom Pernicki, and I am with the 211th Regional Support Group out of Corpus Christi, Texas.
Thanks, Tom.
No problem.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.
Underwriting support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided in part by the Society of St. Vincent de Paul. People often associate the Society of St. Vincent de Paul with thrift stores. Donations like clothing, your gently used couch, or still serviceable washing machine generate funds to assist the Society in putting food on the table for people in need, or keeping the lights on and families in their homes. To find a St. Vincent de Paul thrift store in your area, visit svdpusa.org. Once again, svdpusa.org. And whether you're shopping for new or used items, donating them, or volunteering, you're helping the Society of St. Vincent de Paul help others.